Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on causing oppression and trying to redress that oppression by warding it off and making up in whichever way a person has oppressed someone. So today's hadith an Abi Umamata Iyas ibn Tha'laba al-Harithi radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala man iqtata haqq imri'in muslimin biyaminihi faqad awjaba Allahu lahu an-nar. حرم عليه الجنة فقال رجل وإن كان شيئا يسيرا يا رسول الله فقال وإن قضيبا من أراك رواه مسلم. هذا أبو أمامة رضي الله عنه إياس بن ثعلبة الحارثي رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah Ta'ala makes Jahannam, makes hellfire essential and Jannat, paradise, forbidden for the one who tramples on the right of a Muslim by taking an oath. By the one who tramples on the right of a Muslim, the one who takes away the right of a Muslim by taking an oath. We'll explain what this means just now. So a man said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if it is something insignificant, something small? He took away a right of another person, but what if it's something small, in other words, insignificant? It's not a major thing." That was the question that was posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Even if it was a twig from the araq tree, even if it was a twig from the araq tree, in other words, just a twig like a miswak, even if it was something like that, then also this punishment will be there." What punishment? Allah Ta'ala will make Jahannam wajib for this person and make Jannat haram for this person. Such a serious thing. Make Jahannam wajib, make it necessary for this person and prevent him from Jannat. He took something so small like a miswak, then also it is so serious. So what is the first part of the hadith referring to? That Allah Ta'ala makes Jahannam wajib, necessary for a person, and Jannat forbidden for a person who tramples on the right of a Muslim by taking an oath. What is the meaning by taking an oath? How do you trample on the right of somebody by taking an oath? In an Islamic country, what would happen is if one person had to do someone down. Let's just give an example, then we'll understand. If we go out of the masjid now, and one person on his car, they got there for sale. The latest Toyota Corolla, I got there for sale, 100,000 rand. And now when we go out of the masjid, see that latest Toyota Corolla for sale, 100,000. It looks very nice. Where can you get a new car like this for 100,000? So the person that is selling it, if he says that, you know what, you can buy it, no problem, you can buy it. But whoever gives me the amount first, I'll take it. And I'll give that person. So no, there's no guarantee that I'll give anybody. Whoever can pay me first, I'll give him that. So one person says, you know what, in my car I got 100,000, let me take this money and give it to him. So what he does, he takes his money and gives it to that person. So he says, okay, you know what, I can now to confirm the deal, but I'll give you the car Zohar time, because I need the car to go home and I got a few errands to do. So the person thinking that no problem, let me give the money so I secure the deal. Zohar time comes, the person is not here. Asr time comes, not here. Maghrib time, person disappears. That's normally what happens when you give a person money. It happens, Allah Ta'ala save us. And therefore we have to be intelligent in the way we deal. So that money too is gone, now he got no car. So what he does now, he makes a claim. He says, I know that person who he is. He makes a claim to a court that this person, I gave him that money and he hasn't given me the car. Now the person denies cash, who's gonna be honest about it? He says, no, I never received any money. Who receives 100,000 outside the masjid? I didn't receive any money. So now the person who's making the claim for the money, the person who's given the money, he's got no proof. He's got no proof. Now in Sharia, whenever you make a claim, al-bayyinatu al-mudda'i, the person that is making the claim, he has to bring the evidence. He has to provide the evidence. If he can't provide the evidence, Sharia has one more mechanism in place. The person who the claim is against, he must take an oath to say that I take an oath in Allah that this claim that this person is making is not correct. So now the person who gave the 100,000, he's got no evidence at all because he gave the money. Now where's the proof? So he tells the court, I'm making this claim, I don't have any proof. So the court will tell that person now who was offering to sell the car, that you take an oath in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you didn't receive the money. So now this is where this part of the hadith comes in. So the person will take an oath, I take an oath in Allah that I didn't receive this money. It's a very serious thing. Therefore Islam has this mechanism in a place. If a person has the fear of Allah, he'll be scared to take an oath in Allah that he didn't receive the money. So now this is what this hadith is referring to, where a person has to take an oath. And because of his oath, somebody else is getting denied their right. So now what the court will do, Islamic court, they'll throw the case out. There's nothing else they can do. The person has got no evidence that he gave the money. And the person who is claiming that received the money is taking an oath in Allah that he didn't receive the money, the Islamic court now will throw the case out. There's nothing more they can do. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that person who tramples on the right of a Muslim by taking an oath, in this way, denying somebody his right, then he should remember that Allah Ta'ala makes it such that Jahannam becomes wajib on him and Jannat becomes haram for him. What a serious thing. And then when that sahabi asked Rasulullah, what if it's a small thing, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it's a twig of the arak tree, then also it's something that's very serious. So what we learn from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other hadith also that we did, that it's not about the amount that is taken, it's about the policy and the concept that we are taking the right of someone else. In the other hadith we did, that a person usurps the land of another person, qid shibrin, to the extent of one balish, one handspan like this, to that extent Allah Ta'ala will cause him to sink 7 earths on the day of Qiyamah. He'll be yoked around his neck with 7 earths. One explanation is he'll be sunk into the ground to the depth of 7 earths. So serious it is to take even a little away. So therefore we have to be very, very honest as far as our dealings are concerned. Person should be very careful, and after that also a person should make istighfar, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala must forgive us for any shortcomings. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Inshallah we'll continue with this now on Monday. As we know, today is Friday, we should try and come early for Jumu'ah Salah, increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, try and recite Surah Al-Kahf, encourage the family also, and take advantage of the time before Maghrib Salah in making dua. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.